President Joe Biden signed into office was an extension of the eviction and foreclosure moratorium, the extension running through March 31st. Donna Van Ness is the president of the Housing Channel. They help people get loans to help them get caught up regarding their rent, and she says they're continuing to see people in need.
The initial program was up to $3,600. So the idea was about 3 months rent on average. But now we're seeing people who are more than obviously 3 months behind and still haven't found a solution to their financial problem.
We have a winner. The history-making run of the Powerball jackpot came to an end Wednesday night with one winning ticket sold in Maryland. The $730 million prize was the fourth largest in the game's history and the sixth largest in the United States lottery history. The Mega Millions jackpot is a projected $970 million. USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Last week, then-President-elect Joe Biden introduced a $1.9 trillion COVID relief plan. Now, President Joe Biden would like that plan passed in the first 100 days of his presidency. The plan includes $20 billion for a national vaccination program, $1,400 stimulus checks, and raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Regarding Joe Biden's economic policy, former Reagan economist Art Laffer tells Fox Business,
I thought Clinton was a great president and good on economics, and I thought he was terrific and still do. I think Biden has the potential of being as good as Clinton. Yeah, Biden has been in the Senate a long time. He gets along really well with the Republicans in the Senate. He's done well. He's been moderate. You know that Joe Biden voted for the 86 Tax Act and touted its attributes really highly. So Biden, I don't think, has a chip on his shoulder. And I think he can do a great job.
President Joe Biden fired an independent federal labor regulator within hours of taking office on Wednesday in an unprecedented move that was cheered by labor unions. Within minutes of his inauguration, Biden threatened to fire National Labor Relations Board General Counsel Peter Robb if he did not voluntarily resign from his position as the top prosecutor at the agency. Robb, whose four-year term was set to expire in November, rebuked Biden's demand. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
On today's program, I'll be talking about yesterday's presidential inauguration. I'll tell you about Joe Biden's plan to help workers without raising the minimum wage. I'll talk about why prices will steadily increase for all goods in 2021 and what is making that happen. I'll have part two in my series, Image is Everything, and I'll help you plan for this year and your business's success in 2021. It's not too late. It's Thursday, January 21st, 2021, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. For the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in Flemington, New Jersey, in beautiful Hunterdon County, and on the national scene as well. This is our second show in our new studios, so glad you could join us. We're here at the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce building on Main Street in Flemington. And starting to get used to the new studio, the new surroundings, a lot of buttons, a lot of things to get used to. It's always fun when you come into a new studio, whether it's your first shift on a new station, as I've done several times, or, you know, you get new equipment, same thing. And I remember working in a TV station years ago, and I was running the control board, and And these things are like 6 feet long. They got about 1,000 different buttons on them. And the engineers would come in, wire them up on a weekend. And then in order for you to produce the 6 o'clock newscast, you had to know what everything did. And we'd sit there with an instruction manual 4 inches thick, trying to figure out just how to turn the cameras on. So it's not that bad here, but it still does take some getting used to. So looking forward to that. I got a lot to cover with you today, so let's get started. As a reminder, and this is kind of moving forward as the show's kind of reinventing itself this year. Taking Care of Business is a show for small business owners and their employees. Now, although a lot of people listen from big companies too, it's designed to help small business navigate the complexities of the business world. I'll touch on sales, marketing, customer service, logistics, some legal, some HR, some staffing issues, all with the goal of making your business or you as an employee or manager better. We're obviously in some difficult times here in the United States, here in New Jersey. And it's funny because if you talk to people in different parts of the country, businesses are booming in some sectors. Others are still on lockdown. We've talked to folks in Texas and Florida and Utah. Their states are wide open, and they're not feeling the pinch that others are. And then, you talk to Massachusetts, New York, and everybody, and New Jersey, and everybody is still, suffering. So we'll talk about not only geographically some differences, because we have listeners all over the country, but also we'll talk, I try to hone things in here in New Jersey. And then again, if we can take a lesson either from my business and incorporate it into your business, if we can take a lesson from other businesses and incorporate it into, how you operate your business, we'll do that as well. It's all with the goal of making everybody succeed. So I also want to remind you that if there's a topic that is troubling you, feel free to email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com so I can do the research and bring it up on an upcoming show. Again, that's trophyjim@yahoo.com. And that can be anything. There's a lot of areas where businesses struggle and they don't know where to go for help. And a lot of times talking to another business owner, talking to somebody like me, you may find the answer that you're looking for. And I never want anybody to be embarrassed in sending those questions to me, because it may be bothering you. It may be something that you're looking for an answer for, but you never know. There could be somebody else who's in the same position and would love to have that same answer. So anytime you have any questions about business, employment, something like that, by all means, send it our way. I got an email the other day from a gentleman, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but he says, "Jim, I'm an older gentleman." He didn't give his age, but let's say in his 50s. "I'm an older gentleman who recently lost his job. As I'm applying for new jobs in the advertising sector, I noticed that although I'm being complimented for my experience, I'm not getting the job and younger people are getting those positions. Is there anything I should be doing either on my resume or during an interview to prove to them that I can still do the job?" Excellent question. That comes to us from Kevin from Delaware. And it's a hard question to answer because the company is going to say that they're not discriminating because of your age. But you also don't want to discriminate against yourself because of your age. He started his letter with the second sentence saying, I'm an older gentleman. Well, old and older to me equal experience. And that's what you need to be focusing on in the interviews. Don't talk about, and don't let them talk about, well, you've been doing this for a long time. If somebody comes to me with 30 years of experience and I can get them at a salary that falls within my budget, I want to hire that person. And I encourage all businesses to look at somebody with experience two ways. First, usually they can hit the ground running. The person who has that experience and who is trying to get that position, you also can't be the old dog and do things the way you've always done them. You have to adapt. When you say you're in the advertising industry, that industry has probably seen the most change in the last 10 years of anybody. So one of the things that I think you have to be honest about is, have you kept up with the new methods of advertising? Are you up to date on all of the social media types of advertising that is out there, Instagram, Facebook, Reddit, even LinkedIn. Are you savvy enough to say this is what makes a great ad, slide, or campaign that you would use in social media? It's not enough to say, hey, I'm the top guy in TV and radio and newspaper. You have to go with what is the current form of advertising, and right now that's going to be social media. Also, with that experience, how are you positioned as far as website development or banner ads or something like that? So if you're honest and not just saying, hey, I've been in the industry for 30 years, but if you can say to me and you can demonstrate to me, I do social, I do traditional, I do things you've never even heard of. I don't care what you do, but if you can prove to me that you have those skill sets, that's what you need to be bringing to the front early on. Another key in a person that has, that's a little older is, again, focusing on the experience, but then also offering to mentor the younger staffers. You know, and this is kind of like a bonus, if you will, where you're going to offer to the hiring manager or to the owner of this agency that you can tap into your 30 years of experience with these younger staffers and show them not just the old ways of doing things, but how the advertising industry has come along. A lot of these kids come out of college and, you know, they're great. You know, they're born with a computer mouse in their hand, but they don't know how did we get here. You know, they know what's here now. And a lot of times you'll see that advertising changes. One minute, social media is the hottest thing. The next minute, it better be something to do with your web presence. And the next minute, you'll find that a direct mail piece works best, or an ad in the newspaper, an ad on radio will get you the most return on your investment. So make sure that you're selling the whole package, not just age and experience. You know, show them what you can do when you come in and hit the bricks running. So I do appreciate the email. Hopefully that answered your question, and keep in touch with me and let me know how things go. Yesterday, Joe Biden was sworn in as the 46th president of the United States. Kamala Harris was sworn in as the first black, first South Asian, and first female sworn in as the vice president. Donald Trump left Washington, D.C. earlier in the day and did not attend the inaugurations, which every other living president except Jimmy Carter, due to health reasons, did, along with Vice President Mike Pence. Different optics in that there were no large crowds at this inauguration. Very, very, very high security throughout. Only a couple of small threats at various state capitals, but no violence like we saw on January 6th. So it's almost like, Trump left, Joe Biden's in, Joe Biden gets to work. He changed a couple of things already that Trump had initiated. Trump, when he came in, did the same thing with regards to some of Barack Obama's policies. So now what I want to see happen is that everybody gets on board and supports their president. And again, just like I said last week, he is your president. No more hashtag not my president nonsense. In this country, you only have one president. He is your president. So everybody get on board with that and make sure that we're supportive of him, supportive of the government, and because ultimately you're supporting your own country. I was teasing a friend of mine who 4 years ago posted, when Trump was elected, hashtag not my president. And, so the other day she posts a thing. She goes, I don't want to see anybody post hashtag not my president. Biden's your president, and she's a very strong Democrat. And so I scrolled for probably 20 minutes to find her original post, did a screenshot of it, and sent it to her. I said, it was okay 4 years ago, but it's not okay today. And she, sheepishly, she called me, and she goes, you're right, I apologize. I said, no, I don't want you to apologize. I just want you to understand that there's strong feelings on both sides, and you have to make sure that you're sensitive to that. There's still people that are reeling from the fact that Trump didn't win. But I think ultimately, if we put the country first, we'll be on much more solid ground. I'm going to step away, take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about a plan that Biden has that I fully support, fully endorse, that could help both companies and employees. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business, it's all mine, taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano. So glad you could join me. Wanted to talk to you about a plan that Joe Biden has been talking about for several months, and hopefully, in my mind, he can get this pushed through. This is something that certain business owners are totally against, and other business owners are saying, you know, it's time. We have to make this change. So in business, particularly when you deal with proprietary information, sensitive information, or secure information, you want to incorporate what you call a non-compete or a no-poaching clause for your employees, meaning that if they leave your company or leave your employee, they can't go work for a competitor. And very often this will take a form of either you can't work for a competitor for 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, or they'll put in a clause that says you can't work in this industry or any competitor within 100 miles of your home or something like that. They try to make it so that the commute would be just unbearable. But Joe Biden has indicated that his administration will be more aggressive in minimizing employers' use of non-competition clauses in employment contracts and instituting an outright ban on no poaching agreement. And what a no poaching agreement is that it's kind of a gentleman's agreement between companies that I have a star employee, you won't come after that employee and offer them more money, better benefits, or something like that. It also extends to recruiting firms that they won't specifically start poaching from other companies. So specifically, Biden said he'll support the federal legislation that would eliminate most non-compete agreements, only allowing those that are absolutely necessary to protect a very narrowly defined category of trade secrets. Proponents of eliminating the clauses argue that non-compete agreements, which bar workers from accepting new employment in their field or industry for a certain period, which is often a year or more after they leave an employer, can reduce the competition among businesses and stifle workers' job mobility and wage growth. The clauses were first introduced to prevent upper-level employees from taking trade secrets to rival businesses, but have since proliferated even to low-wage and low-skill workers. It's simple. Companies should have to compete for workers just like they compete for customers, Biden said in December. We should get rid of non-compete clauses and no poaching agreements that do nothing but suppress wages. No poaching agreements, which are when employers agree not to hire workers from one another, make it harder for workers to be recruited by competitors or negotiate better terms of employment. The Obama administration in 2016 called on the United States to ban non-compete and no poaching agreements, saying that it would lead to a more competitive labor market and faster wage growth. The Antitrust Division at the Department of Justice and the Federal Trade Commission issued joint guidance for HR professionals in October 2016, affirming that it is against the law for employers to agree to fixed wages and to not hire one another's employees. The Trump administration also spoke out against the practices. The DOJ filed several lawsuits against employers over the last few years, and the FTC held public events to determine whether it should issue regulations allowing the agreements. Susan Garrett, a partner in the Philadelphia office of Fisher Phillips and co-chair of the firm's Employee Defection and Trade Secrets Practice Group, noted the recent bipartisan attempts to regulate non-competition clauses on the federal level. Legislation banning the agreements may depend on the outcome of the January 5th runoff elections in Georgia, two seats of the U.S. Senate that were won by Democratic candidates, giving more control to Congress and the Senate. Democrats have typically been more apt to call for limits on the use of restrictive covenants that they perceive as impeding employee mobility, and especially in light of the pandemic and the massive unemployment rate, it would not be surprising to see the new Congress and President Biden team up to implement a national approach to non-competition. Even if a push for legislation at the federal level fails to gain traction, employers can still expect movement over the next 4 years at the state level, Garrett said. If federal restrictions on non-competition agreements do not take hold, we are likely to see states continue to consider restrictive covenants and implement laws to limit their use. Nearly every state allows non-compete agreements, but legal battles are often waged over their validity. Some states, such as California, North Carolina, and Oklahoma, disregard these agreements, while others outline which occupations may be subject to non-competition. Courts generally focus on the length of time the agreements are in effect, their geographical limits in miles, and whether employees had access to trade secrets. Daniel Hanley, who's a policy analyst at the Open Market Institute, a Washington, D.C.-based think tank focused on antitrust issues, said that the Biden administration should instruct the FTC to enact rules prohibiting non-compete agreements and exclusionary practices. The FTC has broad rulemaking authority to define and prohibit unfair or deceptive acts or practices, and can take advantage of this power to prohibit non-compete agreements and exclusive dealing agreements. Somewhere between one quarter and nearly one half of private sector workers are subject to some kind of non-compete agreement, according to a study from the Economic Policy Institute. Many businesses have legitimate reasons for requiring workers to sign the agreements, and individualized assessments of the agreements that consider the industry and the geographical location should be conducted instead of an outright ban, said Beth Melito, senior legal counsel at the National Federation of Independent Business. Should non-competes be limited by a Biden administration, employers would have to consider new ways to protect their customer relationships, financial investments, business goodwill, and confidential information, said Anna Dowell, an attorney in the Atlanta office of Ackerman. So basically, we're at a crossroads now. It used to be that non-competes were for more professional-level positions, high-level positions. And what we started to see is they've trickled way down, even to small businesses where, you know, like if I'm the owner of Crown Trophy of Flemington, if I don't want one of my employees to go work for a competitor, I may have them sign a non-compete so that they can't take our way of doing business with them, or they can't take our customer list with them. One of the things that I was talking with a gentleman a few months ago, and he had worked in the trophy industry, and he said, hey, I can bring you this account, this account, this account. And I'm like, Okay. And if you're going to do that from your prior employer, there's a chance that when you leave me, you're going to do the same thing. So I didn't really get a good feeling for that because of his eagerness or enthusiasm to bring accounts over. Sometimes accounts follow people. A lot of times in law firms, the lawyers will join a different firm and say, hey, I can bring you this, this, this account. These people are, you know, are staying with me. It's not uncommon. But I think that it shows that there is an opportunity for some change here. Maybe you don't put non-competes on lower-level workers. And again, if it's strictly on a proprietary basis, then it has some merit, but not necessarily if it's just for protecting all employees. And sometimes these non-competes are thrown out there as threats to the employees so that they wouldn't think of leaving. But a lot of times they do have teeth. And I've also seen in some cases where it goes to court and the decision usually rules in favor of the employee because judges say they have to be able to work. So that's something that is there to consider as well. Just want to check one thing. I talked to you last week before we go into the break about an organization that my wife and I are working with called Lasagna Love. We delivered our first two meals. Now, the way this works, and I'd really like you to visit the website. It's called lasagnalove.org. And if you're interested in, I hear a lot of people saying, boy, I really wish I could help people in need, but I don't know where to go. This is a great organization. So when you sign up for to be a volunteer at Lasagna Love, it takes about 2 or 3 weeks. They figure out where you're at geographically. They have some regional directors. And so what they'll do is you'll set up a schedule that you feel you can handle. So we set up that we would make 2 trays of lasagna every 2 weeks. Then they email us about a week ahead of time and say, okay, we'd like 2 trays of lasagna delivered to this address. This is their contact information. These are people in need. And she made the lasagna, and then we went out and delivered them last Saturday. We both got very nice text messages from both of them, first saying thank you, and second, you know, like a day later saying, man, that was really good lasagna. So it may be an organization you're interested in working with. And the one woman, she told us that, you know, they were low income, they were struggling, there wasn't enough work. The other woman lost her job, was facing surgery, and was now taking care of her elderly parents. And she said, I would be normally the person who's making the lasagna, not accepting this donation. So again, a great organization. I hope you'll consider volunteering for them. They are called Lasagna Love. And if I can arrange to have the director join us, maybe by phone on an upcoming show, we'll get that settled as well. But I think that this is something that even after the pandemic, people could be doing for quite some time. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100andChamberRadio.com. We're going to take a quick news break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you why prices at the store are going to go up, and they're going to go up a lot, and you'll be surprised at the reason why. Again, you're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100andChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Joe Biden will discuss his administration's new COVID-19 response plan later on Thursday. He will also be signing more executive orders aimed at slowing down the ongoing pandemic. Regarding the executive orders that the president has already signed, House Minority Leader from California, Kevin McCarthy, says,
he knows the agenda and those executive orders he is signing are partisan. That's dividing. And I'm afraid that looking at this administration, if this is the start, what more is there to come?
Initial jobless claims are dropping, but they're still high. The Labor Department says 900,000 Americans filed first-time unemployment claims last week. That's down from 926,000 who filed the previous week. The number beat Wall Street predictions by about 35,000. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Is your prostate waking you up more often than your alarm clock? The fact is, the older you get, the more likely you'll have prostate problems, which can affect your everyday life. That's where Prostate Complete by Real Health comes in. Prostate Complete is the result of 20 years of experience as a leader in men's health. The powerful formula in Prostate Complete supports natural prostate function and reduced urinary urges for a better quality of life. Available at Walmart. Visit prostateoneperday.com for special offers. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. And we get together every week at this time from our brand new studios here at the 100in County Chamber of Commerce. Again, glad you could join me. And as we talk about issues affecting businesses large and small, both here in 100in County and on the national scene as well. Well, prices are about to go way up for a reason you normally wouldn't think of. But across the board, anything that's going to be imported, your prices are going to go up. Even our exports are going up. And again, it's a reason that you wouldn't normally think about. But shipping challenges and rising raw material costs are poised to drive product price hikes as COVID lockdowns threaten supply chains in China. And you can call this a perfect storm. Now, a complex concoction that includes skyrocketing shipping container costs, rising raw material prices, reduced shipping capacity in logjam ports, much of it fallout from the COVID-19 pandemic, is creating an international sourcing nightmare for North American importers and fueling the potential for price increases on a gamut of products. The challenges could intensify in the coming weeks as the calendar builds towards China's Lunar New Year on February 12th and as authorities in Beijing reinstitute strict societal lockdown measures in parts of the country to corral coronavirus spread amid a recent reemergence of new COVID cases. It's been one thing after another, said Jeffrey Nannis, who's the president of Norwood, New Jersey-based hard goods promo supplier AAA Innovations. And shipping expenses are surging. But why? Well, factories in China manufacture a majority of products sold here in North America and other countries outside the U.S. and Canada, also producing many items for the market. One of the biggest current challenges facing suppliers who import product, as well as distributors that source direct from overseas, is the availability of shipping containers to transport product from those international locales to domestic shores. If you've ever been on the turnpike and you get towards Newark and Elizabeth and you see all those stacks of shipping containers, well, somebody's got to pay for them. And there has to be enough in each port to load and offload goods. So factories in China, again, manufacture a majority of the products sold here in North America. And one of the biggest challenges is that they can't get enough shipping containers to bring it, to put it on a boat. They also don't have enough boats in the shipping lanes. So the containers are essential. They store items that are carried from China or other countries on ships to the U.S. and Canada. Only now, there's a critical dearth of containers, and the scarcity is sending prices for available containers through the stratosphere. We have seen container costs rise 25% to 35%, depending on the lane and the carrier, said Andrea Lara Rutsam, who's the Senior Vice President of Portfolio and Supplier Management at Trivos PA-based Alpha Broder, a second largest supplier in the promo industry. They do a lot of apparel. And it's been worse recently. In recent months, AAA Innovations had been paying a contract rate of about $3,000 per container to ship from China to California and about $4,000 per container to ship from China to New York. Now, the supplier is paying $8,000 to $9,000 for California-bound containers and more than $10,000 for New York containers. So you have a huge increase in your shipping costs. Where does that get absorbed? Through you, the consumer. Now, we've had quotes as high as $12,000 per container, and that's crazy, Nana said. No one is honoring contract rates, and it's the first time in 29 years in this business that I've seen anything like this. Competition for containers is fierce, resulting in locked-in contract rates being tossed aside and the containers going to those willing to pay elevated rates. Alpha Broder has worked diligently to consistently identify the most affordable options via these spot-buy transactions. Still, what some termed opportunism among container providers appears to be rampant, critics maintain. Some carriers are offering a premium service to lock-in rates, which require customers to commit to monthly usage commitments, whether they ship or not. A number of factors are causing the container shortage. A key one is that it's taking longer for empty containers to be returned for refilling. For instance, the average turnaround time for containers returning to China was 100 days in December, up from the usual 60 or so days, according to the China Container Industry Association. The slow return is a consequence in part of it taking longer to deliver and unload containers, which has resulted from labor shortages and pandemic health and safety protocols that slow the process down. Containers are taking longer to unload at port of entry, said Sharon Coleman, who's Alpha Broder's VP of Global Supply Chain. Then they're taking longer to get to their final consignee destinations due to domestic rail and long-haul shortages, and they're taking longer to unload at consignee warehouses due to warehouse labor issues. So you can see the trickle-down effect just keeps going, but the prices keep going up. And finally, empty containers are taking longer to get back to the ports to head back to their origin. Relatedly, it's more difficult for importers to secure a spot for containers on a delivery ship. Now, if you're the type of company like mine, where we set our prices at the beginning of the year, we advertise those prices on our website, we produce a catalog, you're taking a huge risk, because if these shipping costs continue, you're going to see prices of raw goods go through the roof, you're going to see prices of finished goods go through the roof, and if you've established your pricing in, say, October of the year before, so that you could print a catalog in January, you may be pricing yourself into ruin by March if these prices continue. Shippers have shelved portions of their fleets in 2020 as demand plummeted amid the global economic crisis, basically saying the ships are in the port, they're not shipping. Since then, demand has rebounded robustly, especially for goods made in and exported from China, which in November logged a record trade surplus of $75 billion. Still, shippers haven't returned their fleets to pre-pandemic levels, which has put space on available ships at a premium. The growth in exports, combined with the reduction in ocean carrier capacity, has created a situation where there's simply not enough shipping capacity to meet demand. Given the increased shipping costs and the likelihood of buying price increases, there is a high probability that suppliers will need to consider price increases at some point in 2021. As a result, carriers are taking advantage by putting through price increases, with shippers desperate to get inventory replenished while paying just about anything to get their orders out. As Nicholson and others explained, there's always a mad dash among importers to get product from China stateside before the Lunar New Year in February, which typically sees factories in China closed for a couple of weeks, with workers often traveling far into the countryside to visit family. This customary surge in market demand has exacerbated the challenges related to container and shipping capacity issues, and comes as some importers scramble more than usual ahead of the Lunar New Year, as they're worried that COVID-related health and safety initiatives tied to the travel of factory workers could lengthen how long factories close and or operate below peak capacity. We've heard that some factories could close earlier than normal for this time of the year. An alternative to ocean shipping is air freight. However, that's a more expensive option, and one that's become even more so. We've seen air freight also more than triple, said Nanus. Normally, we'd be at about $3 per kilogram. We've paid upwards of $10. He noted that as of Wednesday, January 13th, the rates were in the neighborhood of $4.80 to $5 per kilogram. So again, air freight, ocean freight, however you're getting your product here, because of container availability and insufficient shipping capacity, it's caused some products to arrive after their expected in-hands date, and as such, suppliers are missing deadlines. Imagine that you've ordered a ton of Valentine's-related goods, and they don't show up until St. Patrick's Day. It's not going to help you. The end client is usually, you know, laughing, and said that it was the 12th call he'd gotten on the issue, and products would not make it in time from overseas. So people are having to explain, we're having this problem. I'm explaining to people that due to shipping, we have to have longer lead times, whereas before I was telling people, oh, we can turn this around in a day or two. Suppliers are saying that freight woes could remain an issue throughout all of 2021, especially if demand intensifies amid societal reopening. So as countries like the European Union and other countries start to reopen, start to do business, need goods brought in, there's going to be fierce competition for space on those ships. So you could see that if the shippers are slow in getting shipping lanes back open, it could have a even worse effect down the line. Raw material costs are rising. Promo product prices could follow raw materials as another component of a product's total costs. It's increasing for suppliers. For instance, Nannis noted that costs for the metals and woods necessary to make the products he sells have increased between 5 and 8%. Are you seeing this in your business, in your industry? I'm talking to restaurants who are saying that their shipping costs are going up, their produce costs are going up, and as a result, their costs have to go up, which they don't want to do simply because they're happy for any customer they get who picks up an order or who does 25% capacity in-store dining. So they don't really feel like they can justify increasing costs. But as your profit margins shrink, it gets to the point where it's untenable to keep going. There's now a rebound of oil prices and other raw materials, along with moves in the Chinese currency rate, and we're beginning to hear of pricing pressure from Chinese producers. So there's a U.S. instituted a ban on all cotton from Xinjiang, as well as all products from cotton made in that region of China because of extensively documented use of forced labor. There is a whole lot, you know, going on in the shipping world. Given the increased shipping costs and the likelihood of buying price increases, there's a high probability suppliers will need to consider price increases again at some point in 2021. This is where planning, forecasting, and knowing the being able to forecast out what's happening in your industry is going to be key for your business and even your business's survival. At some point, if this doesn't get a lot more coverage in the news, you may have to be the news deliverer and put signs in your business that say, due to rising shipping costs, we've had to increase our prices. You don't want to take advantage of the situation, but you also have to make sure that your costs are in line and manageable so that people can absorb them. Otherwise, you're going to have a lot of inventory. So be careful on what inventory you're bringing in to your business, because as prices increase, it could drive customers away. I said this several times where it's almost as if we're in two types of a recession. You know, there's people who have lost their jobs and they're flat out, they have no income, they've lost their jobs. There's others where a spouse is still working, so they have income. And then there's others where, you know, dual income, as if nothing's changed. So you have some people who, as we heard in the news report earlier, are struggling to put food on the table. You have other people who are just getting by, everything's okay, and then others who haven't been affected by the pandemic on a financial scale. It's hard for us to sometimes talk about, you know, I can talk about people that don't have any money coming in, are hard-pressed to put food on the table, are taking advantage of the services like my wife participates in with Lasagna Love, where we make food for people. And then other people are like, man, I wish this thing would be over so we could get back to going to the restaurants every Friday and Saturday night. So it's a double-edged sword, and I think it's something that everybody has to be looking at, both in their business, with their employees, with themselves, and understanding that this will, if your prices increase, it will impact how much people will be able to buy from you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com, WHCRDB, on your digital players. We'll come back, and I'm going to talk to you about an overriding theme of this show has always been image is everything. I'm going to tell you how one major brand is feeling that pinch this week and why it's his own fault, and see how whether or not you agree with that. Again, you're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterton Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterton Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.huntertonhealthcare.org. When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterton Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me as we get together every week at this time to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small. So before the break, I was mentioning how image is everything. And this has been an overriding theme on the show for years where I talk about how everything you say, everything you do, everything your employees say, everything they do, both on and off the clock, affects your business. So we're going to get into the story about images everything in just a second. I did want to take a second. Jim Minadeo made a point about the non-competes. He said, the only way I would sign a non-compete is if they paid me for the time that I was not competing. It also hurts apprenticeship programs. If I make an apprentice sign a non-compete, then I will limit the industry in general from benefiting from the program. So excellent, two excellent points on why non-competes at various levels should not be permitted. So thanks for checking in with us, Jim. I appreciate the comments. And now we'll get back to the images, everything story. So I always say, like, again, if you do something in your business, you're driving a company truck and you cut somebody off and it says XYZ plumbing on the side of the truck, well, people are going to hate XYZ plumbing because, you know, they cut them off. So the MyPillow company with CEO Mike Lindell recently said that Bed Bath & Beyond and Kohl's are going to stop selling his product. And he said on January 18th, his company was recently notified of the discontinuance. He said, I just got off the phone with Bed Bath & Beyond. They're dropping MyPillow. Just got off the phone not 5 minutes ago. Kohl's, all these different places, Lindell told the Right Side Broadcasting Network. Bed Bath & Beyond told Epic Times via email, we are continually improving our product assortment, which includes plans to offer an array of unique and exclusive owned brands from the spring of 2021. As previously announced, we have been rationalizing our assortment to discontinue a number of underperforming items and brands. This includes the MyPillow product line. Our decisions are data-driven, customer-inspired, and are delivering substantial growth in our key destination categories. The decision to stop carrying MyPillow was made recently, the spokesperson said. Kohl's has not replied for a response from the interviewers for their comments on why. Wayfair, an online company, will also not carry the product, CEO Mike Lindell told the NTD on January 19th. Lindell said the actions came after a group such as Sleeping Giant pushed companies to stop doing business with him. It's not their fault that they're scared because they don't realize these are fake people that are saying, we're going to boycott your store if you don't drop MyPillow. People should go into the stores and say they support MyPillow, he said. He also said his company is a good partner and has seen its direct sales increase 30 to 40% since January 15th. We've had great relationships with these companies, and they've had to drop us now because of what became attacks by some group that was hired to send bots and trolls on their social media accounts. Lindell drew attention last week by visiting the White House to meet with President Donald Trump. While there, notes that he was holding were photographed, and pictures of the notes were then circulated on social media. The notes suggested that Trump declare martial law and move Kash Patel, who's the chief of staff, to acting Secretary of Defense Christopher Miller, to acting CIA chief. Lindell told the Epoch Times that the notes contained suggestions from a lawyer, and he was just the messenger. He said martial law wasn't part of the five-minute discussion he shared with the president. The cancellation of Lindell's products is the latest in punitive action taken against Trump and his supporters since the January 6th breach of the United States Capitol. The president was banned from social media platforms and cut off by some banks, while some supporters have also been banned by Twitter and have been fired by their employers. Sleeping Giant, a leftist activist group, has ongoing campaigns to pressure companies to drop conservative and right-leaning websites such as Breitbart News and Fox News. On Twitter, it trumpeted the news that Bed Bath & Beyond and Kohl's dropped MyPillow, claiming Lindell played a part in motivating the breach of the Capitol by questioning the results of the 2020 election. So Mike Lindell has been a big supporter of President Trump all 4 years that he was there. And he's been very vocal in that support. And again, in business, you know, it's almost as if the old rule of two things not to talk about in business are politics and religion. Well, Mike Lindell crossed that line. And so now people are creating these different types of boycotts, and different organizations are creating boycotts. Even congressmen and women are suggesting that if you supported Trump, that your business or you personally could be under attack because of your support for President Trump. Again, it comes down to how important is your candidate's preference and their platform compared to your business. This is your livelihood. Now, some supporters have bought more MyPillows, or people online after this was announced that said they bought three pillows even though they didn't need them, just to support the company. Lindell's saying that sales are up 30 to 40%. But do you want to go through that firestorm of going through a boycott because your political or religious beliefs to you are important enough to take that type of a stand? So very interesting dynamic at work here, and whether or not this pans out in Lindell's favor has yet to be seen. Just taking a look at the time here. So I read an interesting article the other day about Jeff Bezos, and if I can get into the second half of the story, I will. But the question is, how do you plan for your business, and have you planned for your business for this year, for 2021? And people say, well, I'm not planning for my business because I don't know what's going to happen. But you have to have some form of a plan. And that could be what your total sales volume will be. Even if you have to adjust it for COVID, in the negative, downward, you can, but have a plan. My business was down 60% last year. So I've shown that I want to grow by at least 20% over that 60. I probably won't get back to the full 100%, but that's where I set my goal. Now I'm working every day towards achieving that goal. Now, so do you plan your business on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, on a quarterly basis, on a yearly basis? Jeff Bezos is saying that he thinks 3 years out and only makes a few decisions a day. And as the world's richest man, Jeff Bezos may not be one to make New Year's resolutions, especially when it comes to running his company, Amazon. That's because he's always thinking 3 years out, as is his management team, and he only makes a few good decisions a day. In the new book, Invent and Wander, the collected writings of Jeff Bezos, Bezos said he, along with his senior staff, are always working in the future, according to the book. When I have a good quarterly conference call with Wall Street, people will stop me and say, congratulations on your quarter. And I say, thank you, but what I'm really thinking is that quarter was baked 3 years ago. For example, right now, Bezos and his team are working on a quarter that's going to reveal itself in 2023 sometime, according to the writings, thinking 3 years out in the book. And that's what you need to be doing, Bezos said, when he runs a corporation with a market cap over $1 trillion like Amazon. Having this long-term thinking approach helps businesses focus on planning and where they should invest their energy and money, Bezos said in 2017 during the Internet Association's annual gala. As CEO, it is critical that Bezos only makes a few decisions a day. As a senior executive, what do you really get paid to do? You get paid to make a small number of high-quality decisions. Bezos, who's 56 years old, said if he makes three good decisions a day, that's enough, and they should just be enough high quality as I can make them. Things were different when Amazon was a startup in the mid-1990s, he said. During that time, Bezos had to make hundreds of decisions a day and was even packing shipments and dropping them off at the post office himself. But things changed quickly when Amazon went public in 1997, and the company's employee base grew from 158 to 614 people that year. Today, Amazon has more than 1 million employees worldwide. To make good decisions, Bezos emulates fellow billionaire Warren Buffett's decision-making philosophy. Warren Buffett says he's good if he makes three good decisions per year. And I really believe that, Bezos said. So are you thinking that long term, or are you stuck in the today? Are you stuck in the moment and saying, I've got to get through today, I want to make it to tomorrow, and thank God when the weekend comes, you survived another week. But are you thinking of where will your company be next quarter, 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road? It's funny, when I was in sales, I always used to say that the phone calls I make today won't produce any money today. But the phone calls that I make today will produce money for me in 2 or 3 months when I was in the recruiting industry, because it took time to develop that account. It took time to find the right candidates for those positions. So it's important that you be thinking long term. As you think long term in your business, whether it's sales volume, product line, equipment purchases, employee hires, and you're thinking long term, once you have them on what I call your idea board, so let's say you have like a whiteboard and you say, I want to achieve 1 million in sales, and you're currently at 400,000 in sales. Well, how are you going to get to that? How are you going to fill that gap of 600,000? Do you need to hire more people? Do you need to offer more product? Whatever you have to do, those should be bullet points on that. And as you fill those bullet points, you should start to be able to measure whether or not they're resulting in getting you to the destination you desire. So I like the idea of thinking 3 years out, but understand in any business, there are still decisions that have to be made on a daily, if not hourly, basis to keep you running through that day. But always have your eyes on further growth or expansion or something like that that will get you where you want to be. And I think that that's something that you can, that everybody can do. It really just takes a large sheet of paper and a marker and write down what their idea. And there's no bad ideas, you know, but when you have people that you trust in business, whether it's key employees or whether it's other business owners, and you say, hey, here's my idea. Now start filling in those bullet points. How are we going to make that idea a reality? And I think you'll see very quickly that as you fill in those bullet points, the idea does become reality a lot quicker. When it's just a thought in your head, nothing's going to happen. And it's funny because in writing my second book, which is going to come out in March, I wrote the book, the basis of the book, 10 years ago. Life gets in the way. Business was doing well. I didn't have time to write. And so I kind of just put it on a shelf. And it wasn't until a friend started bugging me and saying, where's this book? You know, you've been telling me about this book. Where is it? I want to see it. That I finally said, all right, I got to do it. So I opened up what I had written, made some edits, re-edited. Finally got it to the point where I shut the book and said, I'm done. Now we got to design the cover. We got to get the UPC code, the ISBN number, the LCCN numbers. And it, once I finally put on that I wanted to publish this book in March, and backfilled all of what I had to do, I was just checking boxes. You know, okay, got the LCCN number. Okay, got the ISBN number. Got the UPC code. Cover's done. You know, author's picture. Now we're ready to release. So that's how goal setting happens. Make sure you do it and do it often. And we'll get into more of that next week on next week's show as well. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming program or topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on the show's page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. For more information about me and my businesses, visit www.jimgano.com. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Have a productive week, everybody. And I'll be taking care of business.